Create Art Podcast. Interview. Putting the spirit back into your art. Hello, friend. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator with Create Art Podcast, where I use my over 30 years of experience in the arts and education world to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Recently, I had the privilege of speaking with Kirsten Rudberg, who has her master's in divinity, and we talked about a lot of things to deal with spirituality in art. I met her through Podmatch, which is where I get a lot of my guests from, and I love Podmatch. Links are in the show notes. But Kirsten reached out to me and wanted to be on the show and talk about pantheism and art and what she's doing in her neck of the woods. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Kirsten here. She has her master's in divinity. She's a pantheist, but also an author. And recently, her books were acquired by George R.R. Martin's bookstore in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I have not read George R.R. Martin, but I hear that he's got a great show out there somewhere. Something about, Game of Thrones or something. Don't know about it. She's also a screenwriter, producer, and she has a podcaster. Again, all of her links are going to be in the show notes. She's a believer in humanity and uses her words in diverse ways to encourage us to be better in this world, but especially drawn to defending our shared environments. And I got to tell you, when she reached out to me, I was like, is this going to be a religious show? I don't know. You know what? Her laugh is infectious. Her personality really shines in this interview, and I know you're going to get a lot out of it. So without further ado, let's get right into the interview. Kirsten, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm in the suburbs of Chicago. It's a gorgeous day, and I had to take my car in this morning. The transmission blew, and so I had to walk everywhere, which I should be doing already. I should be walking already, but it's a glorious day for walking. Let's just say that. That's the cherry on the top of everything.
I'm from Chicago, so I'm sorry about your transmission. If I knew a guy, I'd hook you up like we do in Chicago.
Yeah, that's how it works in Chicago. You know a guy who knows a guy, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And that's the way it works in podcasting as well. So, you know, there.
True story, yes.
So, Kirsten, you have a great backstory here with us. I'd like to start off, how was living overseas, in your youth, how did that kind of form your view on life and art and pantheism?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I grew up overseas in lots of places, Guyana, South America, and Pakistan, among others. And then in the course of going to all these places, visited, you know, Bangkok, Bangladesh, Thailand, like the Maldives, Kashmir, all these places. And honestly, as a kid, you don't understand what a gift it is until later on. When I attended seminary, and I had a lot of people in my cohort who, when they were kids, weren't allowed to play with kids of other races or religions. And so I always, first and foremost, say, hey, you know what? I went to school at an American school, but it had kids from all over the world. Every single kind of kid you could imagine, every religion. And all we wanted to do was play and have a good time. End of story. That's it. And nobody cared about anything else. And so that's kind of informed the rest of my life and how I approach the world. And you asked about panentheism, which is basically, you know, I believe that everything is conscious, that everything is sacred in the world, including the spectacles you're wearing, I guess I could say. Everything has consciousness, and it really allows me to relate to the world in a way that's abundant and generous and expansive and beautiful for me. But it also, because of that, I've taken my being a kid to adults now. And so I love meeting people on podcasts in the world because I love people's stories. Everyone's different. And I always equate it to, you know what? I'm building the world's largest sandbox here in my life. And I want everybody to come in, jump in to the sandbox, and let's have fun. Let's create together. So yeah, that changed my entire life.
That's awesome to hear. And, you know, like you said, you're from, well, you're living in Chicago right now, and all these places that you've been to. When I lived in Chicago, one of the first places I lived in was Rogers Park. That's on the north side of Chicago, if folks aren't familiar with it. And the thing that I loved about it is you could walk down the street and hear 20 different languages within two blocks. And now I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which you hear 20 different Southern accents. It's all the same language. So, but I really related to, you know, that when you're talking about your childhood, having all these different influences, all these different religions popping into you, because here in America, a lot of the majority, which I don't think it's a majority anymore, if I remember right, is, you know, the whole Judeo-Christian, it's kind of pushed on everybody. But I think it's just a much richer experience when you can have all of that at your fingertips. It's like painting with an unlimited palette.
Absolutely. And I always say that, you know, whatever great spirit is out there or universal energy, I hardly believe that beneficent force that's so powerful would just want one way of relating to it, you know? And so really the multiplicity of ways that humans decide to communicate with that energy, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous in all its variety, and it keeps things interesting. And so I'm a fan of, like, the more the merrier, and the more beauty we can bring in the world in whatever direction, bring it on. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to ask you about, because I'm not an expert on pantheism. Hopefully by the end of this conversation, I will be much better. Probably still won't be an expert, but I'll be much better. But one thing that it was the first question that kind of came to my mind is navigating that balance between individual expression and the collective consciousness in your work. You know, given pantheistic beliefs, I believe in a collective, I call it collective unconsciousness, which I think is probably similar, and that I can tap into that. But then I still have, you know, Tim Bryan here, he was doing it, but then he's tapping into this extra resource. How do you navigate that?
Well, you know, thanks for leading with a really, really easy question. I appreciate it. So I actually, it's interesting because I'm very much, are you into Carl Jung?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of posited that there is a collective unconscious out there where dreams come from, where ideas come from, kind of this vast well of memory and myth and legend that all humans have access to. And so, you know, when I create, like, I'm rewriting the Peter Rabbit book series. So that's an idea that's already been done by Beatrix Potter, but I'm bringing it into a very social justice. And so, you know, the first book, A Tale of Two Rabbits, is a rewrite of Peter Rabbit and deals with environmental degradation. So, you know, the lens that I'm using there is probably from my democratic upbringing, Chicago. Thank you very much. But also, you know, seeing what we're doing to the world and how humans are having such a dramatic effect on the plants, on the animals, on the atmosphere. And so the entire series, and it's going to be 13 books, it's going to be it's going to turn a little sci-fi-y at the end. That is piggybacking off Beatrix Potter's earlier work. But for example, you know, my series, Murder of Two, it's an animated series on YouTube. And it's about two crows that sit on a line. And so despite my best efforts, usually after I finish a project, I realize, oh my gosh, I am wrestling with something here internally, and it's coming out in my writing. And so the two crows basically comment on humanity. The first episode was in response to George Floyd and observing humans and how silly we are and how we seem to shoot ourselves in the foot. And, you know, afterwards I realized, oh my gosh, I am trying to wrestle with what the great spirit or that universal energy is thinking, looking down on us. Like, what are you doing? And it wasn't until later that I understood that it was something coming out of my unconscious, you know, that was like, I want to be expressed. And but you know, I have a playful side too. I have a web series called Poncho in the Car with Noodles, and each episode is 9 to 10 minutes long, and it's about how different people experience each other of different races. And it's a comedy, but also commenting on humanity. I can't get away from commenting on humanity. I am trying so hard and I can't get away. So, you know, despite my best efforts, I seem to be haunted by certain things, and they come out in my work. Just, you know, even though I don't intentionally want to go there, it just seems to happen.
I feel you on that, because I've been noticing we just got done with National Poetry Writing Month. And, this podcast, we participated it, we did it for five, you know, this is their fifth year in a row of doing it. And I'm finding myself, even if I'm given a prompt that has nothing to do with commenting on society as a whole, or, you know, because I have kids, so I'm, you know, instantly, you know, how am I going to make this world a better world and commenting on the world? I'm right there with you. I can't get away from it. And that can be a good thing, and that can be a bad thing. So how do you keep positive about that, though? Because there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. You know, we're not going to solve it. Well, we might solve it at the end of this podcast. I'll give us a shot. But how do you keep positive in light of all that, and relate it to your artwork?
Right. So, I mean, I think that's a multi-pronged answer there. But one is, I have lots of dear friends who are struggling right now. And I mean, with major catastrophic things. And so for me, you know, I went to seminary, I'm ordained in the Church of Universal Interfaith. And I just minister to people accidentally. I'm like the accidental minister. And so inevitably, I'm consoling and being present with them, which, you know, they always, I mean, they tell me they feel better after they talk to me. They could be lying to my face. I have no idea. But making those human connections and being present for people that I love helps my heart to feel better. The other thing is a rather selfish endeavor. It's my podcast called Bite Sized Blessings, and that's BYTE. And I basically interview everyone under the sun. It's so selfish. And I ask them, have you ever witnessed something that was miraculous or magical or inexplicable in your life? And how did it change your life? So every week I'm talking to people, interviewing people, and they tell me about these profound experiences, synchronicities, unreal events, visions, surviving death, that you can't, there are no rational explanations for some of these things, which allows me to peek behind the curtain. I love using that image of the great Oz, the magician, and peeking behind the curtain allows me and my listeners to peek behind the curtain of the magic or the mystery that's in this reality that usually stays pretty hidden in our rationalist world. Or I wouldn't even say it stays hidden. I believe it's crying out to be noticed, you know, because if we noticed it, we might cherish this world a little more deeply and cherish other humans a little more profoundly. But because we're all about making money and running and doing, we're missing a lot of these beautiful things. So that podcast, really, those stories, they make me happy. And they remind me that inherently this world is a good place, despite the horrors that are going on.
Absolutely. How do you find the guests for that show? I mean, that's got to be a podcast just amongst on its own of, you know, how I found these people. And then here's their stories.
I'm super shameless. Okay. And I mean, I'm good. I have boundaries. I'm not a creep, but you know, sometimes if my sister or brother introduces me to someone, I'll be like, oh, I have this podcast. And I was like, if you want to be a guest, this is the story that's going to be happening. But obviously, I mean, I have a lot of people in my cohort at seminary that were on the show. Other people just send me their dear friends over and over. They're like, you should interview this person. You should. And then Podmatch, which I have, you know, after a while I was like, I can't take the stress of trying to find guests. So I joined Podmatch and I'm interviewing all sorts of exceptional and beautiful human beings, but also creating new friendships that are really profound and gorgeous. So I'm getting a lot out of it. But yeah, I'm pretty shameless. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Chicago style, right? Get over here.
I'm coming back for the Chicago dogs and the deep dish pizza. I promise. I'm coming back. We don't have a White Castle here either. I'm dying out here. I know. It's like 278 miles away. I've got it on GPS.
That's amazing.
Hey, you know, Sliders and Twins. I'm just, you know, you got to keep going somehow.
Yeah, true. Yes, I would imagine.
So how do you navigate the tension between, you know, how art can be so temporary and the eternal essence of nature in your creative work, given your pantheistic belief? So, you know, how art is so temporary, but we as human beings, spirits, what have you, we're eternal. How do you navigate that?
Well, yeah. So one of the things I think of is, you know, I love that quotation. There's nothing new under the sun. So we're basically like telling the same stories over and over again, but just with different characters, with different attributes, different places, locations, geographies. So some of these stories, you know, they're eternal. They're 100% eternal. And a lot of them reflect the struggles, the challenges, the hardships that humans have been wrestling with since the beginning of time, or since we were able to actually think for ourselves. And so, you know, there is that. Those ideas, those concepts are eternal. And so we will always be bringing them forward, even 1,000 years from now, depending on what the world looks like. We will be telling stories with much the same moral or idea or conflict. And I think that's really, really beautiful. I do believe in reincarnation. However, you know, I do think it's not super cool that we forget everything from our last life and have to start back over again. It just sounds so, it's like exhausting to me. And I've been in, as I tell people, I've been in a really hard argument with whatever that energy is that has started this whole thing, talking about like how ridiculous it is and what a waste of energy it is that we keep forgetting our lives. And people say to me, well, what does it say back? And I'm like, nothing. I'm like in a one-sided argument. It won't respond. And I don't understand. So I do think, I mean, someday, wouldn't it be marvelous if we just, when we died, we were in the middle of a play and then we get reborn again and we can jump back into that play and actually finish it rather than leave things undone. I don't know if that helps answer your question, but I think both things are eternal, those stories and those ideas and our souls. So, yeah.
Well, that gives us a lot of, you know, that gives us a lot of hope because, yeah, our stories are going to continue on, and maybe through different reincarnations, we run into those stories and go, wait a minute, that sounds really familiar. Because I can tell you, some of the ideas that pop out of my head, I'm like, no, I've already done this before at some point. Mm-hmm. When did I do this before? And I know I didn't do it in this lifetime. So I think you answered that perfectly. That's awesome.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? We'll settle that argument with the Great Spirit, and we'll get that figured out by the end of this podcast. We got a lot of work to do on this. This episode's going to have a lot of work. So, how do you envision the role of art in fostering a deeper connection to nature and the universe? How can we use our art to really tap into all of that nature, spirit, what have you? And how do you use art to tap into that?
Oh gosh,
I don't ask the easy question.
No, I'm going to give you a somewhat semi weird answer that's going to deal with part of your question. So before I started seminary, I found this incredible book. I don't know if you know who Maya Deren is. She was a cultural anthropologist and went down to Haiti and spent years there. And I think it was the 30s and 40s, and did documentary work about voodoo and Haitian worship practices down there. And she wrote this incredible book and did a film as well, but wrote this incredible book called The Divine Horseman, because in Haiti, When the gods come to visit, you know, it's very ornate. It's a huge ceremony. It's absolutely fabulous. But the idea is that they're invoking a god to come in. The god comes in and mounts someone, and then that person channels the god. And it's the person's behavior changes, what they drink, how they act. The god comes in, dispenses wisdom, gives advice, tells the future, all of these things. But basically the book's called The Divine Horseman because the god comes in and mounts the person like a horse. And so I experience my creativity like that. So it's under duress a little bit, and something will come and get on my shoulders or lay on my heart or ride me like a horse. And I actually try to avoid being creative like the plague. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I run away screaming half the time. But if I don't, that feeling doesn't go away. It just sits there because it's patient and it knows that I'm a little bit of a jerk and it knows that I can feel that energy. And so I actually, for Poncho in the Car with Noodles, for example, you know, the common practice is I wake up in the morning and I can already feel it on my shoulders. And I'm like, ugh, getting grumpy already, super grumpy because I know what's going to come. And, you know, I'll ignore it for a couple hours and then it'll still be there. And I'm like, oh, fine. I'll get in front of my computer and I'll just, and so it's really interesting. A lot of my stuff, I'll write like two or three episodes. It'll come out fully formed, but it's also because I've been dreaming it. So I'm a big believer in asking the unconscious. So, hey, I have this project, like, in the background, think about it and make it realize itself. You know, I want everything to be really beautiful and perfect. So it could take a week. It could take 3 weeks. It could take a month. But then one day I'll have that feeling. I'll sit down and three episodes will come out instantaneously that don't really have to be changed very much. I'm lucky like that. So, you know, I don't know who I'm channeling. I hope it's someone with taste. Not really sure. It'd be cool if it was like Oscar Wilde because I think he's super fabulous, but we really can't all channel Oscar Wilde. So that way, how my creative process works, it's like an unconscious, almost like computer program working in the background. I give the task out and then one day it just all comes out. Does that make any sense?
That makes total sense. Sense because when we let that subconscious and whatever that subconscious is attaching itself to, sometimes we just need to get on with our day and just let work, you know, kind of as a separate part of your brain, separate part of your consciousness, and just let it do the work while we go and live life and experience it. So that totally makes sense. We'll get Oscar Wilde at the end of this episode. It's just going to happen.
Amazing.
Maybe Edgar Allan Poe too. Why not? You know? Ooh.
My dream would be William Blake.
He's good. I don't know if you're...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He owes me $20, but he's good.
Oh, what a jerk.
It's what I say about everybody. We were watching a ball game last night, and I kept on telling my girls, yeah, first baseman, he owes me $20.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing and hilarious. Do they roll their eyes yet? Or are they like, Dad?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they're 9 years old, so they've been rolling their eyes for years. They've heard all the worst dad jokes in stereo because there's two of them.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump onto this podcast, this Bite Size Blessings podcast. So I've already asked you how you found the guest, and I think that's a great thing. Just, you know, letting people know that you're doing it. We will definitely have links in the show notes for it. But how are you preparing for these podcasts? Do you get a little bit of information from the person before they come on, or is it just, you've got a great story, let's roll with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get any information from them. Partially, I mean, I do read a little bit about their CV, right? Who they are, their life, that kind of thing. But otherwise, I do not tell them what to say, and I don't have any idea what they're going to say before they come on, as far as what the magical or miraculous event was, because I like to be really surprised. And as you'll see, you know, on my YouTube channel, I have two, each episode has two parts, the long form interview or the little bite-sized nugget of the miracle that they talk about. So if you watch my YouTube with Bite-Sized Blessings, you'll see my face contort and change shapes, my jaw drop in awe, me making funny sounds because I can't believe these people are telling me these stories. So yeah, I want it to be as authentic and real time as possible. So yeah.
That's awesome. Is that a little bit scary though, too, because you don't necessarily know what you're going to get, and you may get a, ooh, I didn't want to, you know, bring this into the world.
Well, you know, that hasn't happened so far, knock on wood. But there have been some really great. Last year, I did an October spooktacular. And so it was ghosts through October. And I did have a bunch of semi-scary stories. And some of them were tad alarming, and I was grateful I wasn't there when it went down. But yeah, those are the ones that really give me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. How do you keep organized with, you know, you have your bite-sized blessings, you have all the other projects that you're working on. How do you keep yourself organized so that way you can, you know, give 100% to whatever project you're working on at that time? What, Karen, what's your secret for organization?
Gosh, it's so flattering you think that I'm giving 100%. But you know what? I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that compliment and run with it. Look, I am involved in a lot of projects right now. Now, you know, for example, Poncho in the Car is done. I wrote a movie. That's done. I'm in the middle of writing another episodic that's been sitting there for 2 years because I've been working on the podcast, and the podcast takes a lot of time. I'm starting, you know, I love collaboration, okay? You have to know that because I truly believe in lifting others up and bringing other people along. I also believe that with more people contributing to things, you never know how gorgeous and complex and just intelligent your project can become. And I really love collaborating. So like I have a comic book project that I'm working on with a dear friend, Stephanie Aaliyah. And so she's keeping me on track for that. And so I do have other people nagging me. Don't tell Stephanie I said that. But like keeping me on track. But a lot of times, I mean, what I do is I have a whiteboard and I write every project I'm working on and the status, so that, you know, when something strikes my fancy, I'm like, oh, okay, I can work on that today. You know, so the whiteboard helps for sure.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, and I would think too, because just the feeling that I'm getting, you know, over the video here is that because you have, how do I say it? You've plugged into this consciousness, this collective consciousness. It seems like you have your safety net there. So it's not that you're worried that this isn't going to get done. It will get done. You have trust in the process, and you have trust in the collective consciousness that you will find a way through. And that's just what I get from, you know, a video of you basically. So I do, that's what I'm getting off of that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the other thing I really try to do is I don't put pressure on myself. So like for that episodic that I'm writing, which is called The Bitch Slap Preacher, it's a comedy show. I'm not putting pressure on myself. You know, I worked on it for a while and now I've stepped back for a while. And I know I'll go back to it eventually, but I'm doing all this for me, by the way. Like, I think I see on a lot of podcasting boards, people say, when am I going to start making money doing this? And all of a sudden, 25 comments from people saying, you're doing this to make money. You will never make money. You do this because you love the subject. You're passionate. It is something that you can't stop putting out into the world. You know, and I think there's a big misconception. People are like, I'm going to get famous. Like, I don't write, I wrote Poncho in the Car with Noodles because it delighted me. And I sent it out to people and it delighted other people. But I'm not writing it to get money or become famous or whatever. I'm writing it because it makes me happy. And there's just this immense sense of satisfaction to do something well, get it done, and put it out in the world. I mean, I took a screenwriting course. This is actually fascinating. And this is a huge key at Second City in Chicago because they have online screenwriting courses. And I took class one and class two. Each one was about 10 to 12 weeks long. By the middle of both classes, there were about 8 to 10 people in each class. By the middle, I was the only person putting in my assignments. By the end, I was the only person. Everybody dropped out. And I thought to myself, this is what makes me different than everyone else because I have staying power and I will finish things. And it was such a stark reminder that it doesn't have to be perfect when it comes out, but you need to take it somewhere and you need to commit to finishing it.
Wow. That, yeah. You got me speechless on that one. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's, I did this. I feel good about it. It came from me. Whatever else I'm tapping into, and I'm giving it out to the world. And, you know, that's the reason why I do this podcast is, you know, everyone says, you know, have your avatar and all that kind of stuff. And people make up these avatars. This guy is my avatar. I have him right there. Now, the story behind him, it's a sad one. Unfortunately, he was one of my listeners, and unfortunately, he took his life. I keep him right there. And anytime I'm like, you know, I'm hearing crickets out here, I just look over at him. I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing it for you, Lieutenant Colonel. I'm going to do it for you. And, you know, maybe somebody else out there hears it. If not, fantastic. I had a great time. I wasn't, you know, not in jail, not in a bar. I'm doing the podcast and I'm happy with that. So.
Yeah, I can tell you some funny stories about how I, just about how that energy has fun with me and thinks I'm the biggest complainer in the universe, because I am. So this podcast, I've been doing it for over 3 years. It's exhausting. It's a lot of work. I grumble a lot. But every single time I complain or say, gosh, I think I'm going to give this up because it's so much work, within 24 hours, I am not kidding. And this never happens any other time. It's only when I say, I might quit doing this, someone reaches out and says, oh my God, that podcast was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And so I've gotten wise to these tricks. So I was driving into work at Santa Fe one day, and I mean, I was beside myself because I was just exhausted with everything. And I'm like, I'm giving up this podcast. And I looked up at the universe and I was like, I'm giving it up. Do you hear me? And I know you're a jerk. And so I bet because you're such a jerk that within 24 hours, someone's going to send me a message and say, this is the best thing I've ever heard. Whatever. I don't care. I hate you. And I was having an emotional day. And 2 hours later, I got a message at work that was like, I can't even tell you how this podcast is changing my life. And I thought, who's the jerk now? It's me. I'm the jerk. I'm the jerk, everyone. Now I know. It's me.
And if you try to, you know, trick that spirit or trick that consciousness, it's going to be like, yeah, no. I don't play that game. No.
It's very amused by me. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
There you go.
Yes.
So with the podcasting, you've been doing it now for 3 years. What do you think is going to be the future of Bite-Sized Blessings? Just continue on with the process that you have going on right now. It's good to go. Or you're going to do something completely different and do, you know, maybe some Joe Rogan stuff and have everybody get high while you're talking back and forth.
Oh, that sounds so boring and basic, frankly. I am a nerd. So while I do have a Master's of Divinity, I've read science magazines. my entire life. And so, you know, my idea would be that bite-sized blessings in some form or fashion in the future creates a new religion and unites quantum mechanics and, you know, theological thought. But that's, you know, maybe that's in the next century. We'll see. I won't be alive then. But, you know, I do vision things for my YouTube channel, for example. I want to bring a space that's really positive and beautiful for people. So, you know, I love words. I envision all sorts of ideas for how can I teach people new words in a playful, fun way? How can I do little bits of beauty maybe twice a week and make YouTube videos? I want it to be a really gorgeous space. I'm really all about nourishing the soul. So how can I create, you know, a little part of the channel be what foods or recipes nourish people? You know, look, this is like a full-time job and I just don't have the capacity in my life right now. I am at my sister's house. I'll be probably living at the Oregon coast this summer. But everything's up in the air as far as my life. I have these big dreams, but all of it is meant to be inclusive, collaborative, bring other people in, feature other people, introduce strangers to each other, but really nourish the soul and bring more beauty into the world. So it is to be determined, but I've got lots of ideas.
You've all heard it here first, to be determined. So you never know who Kirsten's going to be working with. You never know. I might become a bishop of this new religion.
Excellent.
I've got the ear for it.
We are hiring.
Okay, good. Do you have good cookies or brownies?
Ooh, of course we do. And gluten-free ones too. So we welcome everybody.
I'm there. Well, Kirsten, it's been a pleasure talking with you here today. Thank you so very much. If there is one idea that you want to get across to our listeners about pantheism and combining that with art and how they can possibly do that, could you give us one idea that people can use to bring spirituality into their art or bring art into their spirituality?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you couldn't pry me out of a library when I was a kid. They actually had an intervention and forcibly evicted me from the junior high school library. But reading all those books, I read 96 when I was in seventh grade and 120 when I was in eighth grade. Reading those books is almost like a spiritual experience. And frankly, reading all kinds of books helps me immeasurably today to create characters, write dialogue, envision lives, give backstory. So diving into books of all kinds, whether the biographies, fiction, science fiction, whatever, read as much as you can because you never know when a passage or a book is going to strike your heart, stay there forever, and then help you in the future to write a book or write a screenplay or write an animated series. Like I said before, there's nothing new under the sun, but you can certainly rehash it and change it and create something even more beautiful that the world will appreciate.
Awesome to hear. Awesome to hear. Thank you so very much, Kirsten.
You bet.
Well, all right. That was my interview with Kirsten on today's episode. Want to challenge you to go out there and take a listen to her podcast, Bite Size Blessings, and Bite is BYTE. And there will be links to that in the show notes. Very inspiring talk, very energetic talk, as you can hear from our conversation. A lot of laughter and a lot of good times were had. We did not solve world hunger in this episode, but I think we all learned a little bit something about putting the spirit back into our art. So now it's that part of the show where I'd like to ask you if you have any questions, if you have any ideas about show topics that you'd like me to cover, feel free to email me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com. I'm happy to read those emails and happy to bring you on the show and incorporate those ideas because I think we're all connected in some way, shape, or form. And that gives us a sense of community and that gives us the inspiration that we need for our artwork because I truly believe that inspiration is out there for the taking, and hopefully you got something out of this. If you did, feel free to share it with a friend. If you're, whatever app you're listening to this on, you can push that little share button and share it to your friends that way. I definitely would appreciate that. Speaking about sharing podcasts with friends, I run another podcast called Find a Podcast About. You can find it at findapodcastabout.xyz, and that's where I listen to other podcasts and bring back the ones that I really enjoy, the ones that I think you're going to enjoy. And a lot of times I'll ask the host to be part of the show, give us their ideas, give us their journey, and behind the scenes. So definitely check out that podcast, Find a Podcast About. All right, well, it's time for me to let you get back on with your day. I'm going to get back on with my day. Thank you so much for listening. Now go out there, tame that inner critic, create more than you consume, tap into the collective consciousness that we talked about here on today's episode, and go out there and make some art for somebody you love, yourself. I'll talk to you soon.